Good to everybody, and almost Chag Kasher Pesach V'Sameach. So first of all, I want to thank all of you for coming, the fathers and the sons. It's always a very special thing to learn extra on Moshe Shabbos. Maybe boys your age want to be doing other things, maybe not. But it's awesome to see you guys here, and I'll let you in on a little secret, guys. This is for the 8th graders, more than for the dads, that Rabbi Lubetzky asked me if I have a preference, 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, if I want to speak to any particular grade. So Rabbi Weber said, I don't have a preference. Rabbi Kineski said, I don't have a preference. And then I'm like, but I have a preference. I felt a little bit awkward saying it. But I really actually did request to speak to you guys, and that's for two reasons. So first of all, just, you may or may not know, so I'm a Rebbe at DRS. I've been there for 6 years, and I mainly teach the 9th grade, so I thought it'd be great to just see some of your faces. But also, I thought, you know, it's really a unique opportunity to teach to the 8th grade, considering that I usually teach 9th grade, because teaching the 9th grade, it's true that they're 1 year older than you, but they're really the babies of high school. They're just figuring their way. And here I have the opportunity to really speak to the sort of, you guys are like the leaders of the school here. Hopefully, you know, you're a role model. I'm sure you're a role model to the younger kids. So to me, that was really a very unique opportunity. So I'm very excited to share some Torah with you. And what I'm about to share with you is an idea that I've really... This is like one of the most exciting ideas to me personally. It's an idea that started from a Dvar Torah that I heard from my Rebbe in Israel 10 years ago, Rebbe Zinkin in Eretz Yisrael. And since that, I've been expanding it and taking it. But this is actually the first time I'm going to be presenting this year in sort of a full form. So I'm really excited about it. And I'm actually pretty confident, I wouldn't say that always, but I'm pretty confident that if you take this idea to heart, really, really, and I say this from the depths of my heart, this could really change your Seder experience. So I guess I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself by saying that, but let's see how it goes. So what do I want to talk about? So I began with sort of two questions. They're all both related of how do we begin the Seder and why do we begin the Seder this way? So I would assume, and you'd be correct, if you're going to tell me, Rebbe, the Seder starts with Kaddish, you're technically correct. I don't think you'll find a Haggadah that says that that says differently, that we start with Kaddish, but I'll tell you that's not what I'm talking about tonight, because Kaddish is not really how we start the Seder. Why? Yes, there are elements of Kaddish that make it Kaddish, not just Kiddush. There are elements that make it unique to Pesach, but Kaddish as a whole is not unique to Pesach. That's not how we start the Seder. Really, it's how we start every Yontif and every Shabbos. So, not Kaddish. Oh, so Orchatz, oh, we all, right? I'm sure you guys learned when you're little kids, why do we wash our hands without a bracha? No bracha. Remember, you have all these, my 5-year-old comes home, Abba, no bracha. He has the whole project with the big X over the word bracha. But really, there's a much more halachic reason as to why we have Orchatz for a topic that's not related at all to what we're talking about tonight, about tipul b'mashkim, that when you dip something in a liquid, having to do with laws of tumah and how tumah is contracted and passed down. So Orchatz is a very halachic related thing. Yes, it gets us to ask questions, but it's also not strictly related to the Seder, which brings us to, I kind of gave it away, right, with most of the sources, Karpas. I want to suggest that Karpas is how we begin the Seder, pun intended with the title of the vegetable of our roots. I thought that was cute. But I really believe that Karpas is the beginning to our Seder, and it's not just a quick thing we do with a tiny little piece of celery or potato, whatever it is, because really, how much time do we spend on Karpas? Not much, maybe just a couple of seconds, and we move on. And I understand that, because if you start saying a Divrei Torah about Karpas, people will start throwing things at you. So even if you don't share this idea, or you know, in a summary version, by Karpas, just having this idea in your mind while you eat the Karpas will change your Seder experience. And hopefully you'll see why. So the goal for the next, you know, 15 minutes, whatever, 20 minutes, is to realize that Karpas is not a self-contained minor part of the Seder. It's actually the kickoff. It's the grand way to begin. So let's start taking a look. I saw that some of you guys really got through some of the sources, which is fantastic. So some of which I'll say is directly from the sources, and then I'm going to really build into it. There's, you know, you got to have, as a Rebbe giving a shir, you always have to have a prestige, like a magician. You got to have something that you haven't revealed to the audience yet. So let's begin. So I started you out with a Gemara in Pesachim. probably not a Gemara that you see very often. It's not one of the popular Gemaras about what you do, Arve Psachim and Dal Kosos and Aseba. Rather, it's talking about something which we don't know of yet, and Mitzvah Shem we will know of soon. And that is the process, sort of the end process, of what happened with the Karban Pesach. Now, you should just know, by the way, I mean, in Mitzvah Shem we should experience it. As hectic as you might think Erev Pesach is nowadays, you have to realize that the Gemara tells us that the Kohanim were knee-deep in blood. I mean, you had tons of sheep passing through. Everyone needed a Karban Pesach. This was a crazy day. Crazy day. So what happened, though? So finally the guy, you know, he's waiting in line, finally gets it to his turn. He gets his Karban Pesach slaughtered and says, the Gemara, Tana kol echad vecha nosin piskel ba'oro, maf shalach orav. What is it? So what's it going on there? So he's got to get his Karban Pesach home. They didn't have cars back then. They didn't have coolers. They slung it over the shoulder using the skin of the animal. They were very efficient and resourceful. They used every part of the animal for some purpose. So they slung it over their back, sort of like, you know, a sack or a backpack. And that's how they carried it. That sounds very practical. I don't know why we need to know that, but it tells us. One last statement, Amar Rav Ilish Tayos. And Rav Ilish uses a strange word, and we don't exactly know what it means. You really need Rashi for this. And so Rashi tells us, what is Tayos? Derech Sochrim Yishma'ilim Huzeh. That this is the way of Ishmaelite merchants. That's how they would carry their merchandise. So you have to stop here and ask yourself something. Yeah, usually Rashi is there to fill us in on some blanks. But this Rashi seems to be telling us an unnecessary detail to an unnecessary thing in the first place. Why do we care how they carried home the Karban Pesach? It doesn't seem to really matter to us very much. You always have to be, you know, obviously, it's a night of questions. It's always good to ask questions. So it seems like the Gemara is not telling us anything unique here. So we need to ask, what are they trying to tell us? Because obviously, Chazal is not wasting their words. And just to give you an example, just because it's in Yonah Dioma, if you look in Shulchan Aruch regarding Shabbos Agado, which we just had, there is one tiny simon in Shulchan Aruch about Shabbos Agado, and all it says is, the Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos Agado. So all the Rishonim and all the Achronim, well, not the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch, but all the Achronim deal with what's this telling us. Okay, great. So it's called Shabbos Agadol. So what's this talking about? Why is Rashi telling us about the Ishmaelim? So one of the classic ways of figuring something out in the Gemara, especially when you have a word like Ishmaelim here, that's our key word, that's our buzzword, is to see when is the first time the word Ishmaelim appears in the Torah. What's the root? What's the main source of that word? And that brings us to a story that we're probably all very familiar with, and I've heard many times in different variations and different times of the year. And that is the story of Yosef and his brothers. So what happens, we don't need to go into the whole details. We know, for whatever reason, maybe Yosef was asking for it, maybe he wasn't. The brothers didn't like him very much. Maybe they want to kill him. They decide, you know, not to. They throw him in the pit. And what happens? They obviously weren't very bothered by Yeshua Lech Olechem. So after throwing him in the pit, they had a nice lunch. They weren't very concerned. What happened? And they saw a caravan of the Ishmaelim coming with their goods on their camels, the spices, etc. And what does Yehuda say? What are we benefiting from? We don't like him. We just want to get rid of him. We don't need to kill him, right? You don't like your little brother, so you lock him in the closet. You don't need to kick him. You don't need to, you know, lock him out of the house. Just got to get him out of your sights. So what did they do? They sold Yosef to the Ishmaelim. So, says Rav Shlomo Kluger and Yiro Shlomo, there's a Peirush on the Haggadah, beautiful idea. Again, this is, I think, a game-changing idea. He says, why is it important for Rashi to tell us that the way that the Bnei Yisrael carried home their Karban Pesach mimicked that of the Ishmaelim? Because it's important, says Rav Shlomo Kluger. We're spending the entire night of the Seder focusing on the bad guys. Who are the bad guys? The Egyptians, right? And Paro being the head of that. We talk about the Makos and how the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he showed them who's really boss and how he, you know, put them in their place, so to speak, and the Kriyas Yamsuf. But says Rav Shlomo Kluger, we spend so much time focusing on the external enemy, but what about the internal enemy? What about the infighting amongst Klal Yisrael? Because he says, if you think very honestly, you come to a very painful and uncomfortable reality. And that is, yes, it's true that we were slaves in Mitzrayim, and they were therefore the bad guys in the story. They were the ones who tortured us. But how did we get there in the first place? Right? What set the wheels in motion? Yosef being sold by his brothers to the Ishmaelim and getting to Mitzrayim. That's what started it all. That's what started the entire... Yes, it's true, maybe some of you are thinking, oh, but didn't Hashem tell Avram that your people will be straight? Yeah, but that could have happened in thousands of ways. We have Bechir Chapshus, we have free will. And how did we play sort of our cards, our own fate? The brothers did a terrible thing. They sold Yosef, and that's how it all started. So, Shlomo Kugler says, before you can point your finger, you're going to spend your whole night pointing your finger at the Egyptians, but first you got to talk about yourselves and say, okay, before I talk about the Mitzrayim and Magid, I first got to talk about what we did to ourselves. And so therefore, before Pesach even starts, they would load the Karban Pesach on their backs like the Ishmaelim to trigger in their minds to remember, this is what we did to our own brother. What I think he's really saying, you know, if you've ever watched a movie on DVD or Blu-ray, which is like, I feel like that's like already not a thing anymore. Even though Blu-ray is pretty new technology, I have a DVD player at home because Uncle Maishi is not on Netflix. But, right, so if you ever watched a DVD or a Blu-ray disc, so one advantage, I guess, that they have over like a Netflix is that, so when you put the DVD in, you'll have a main menu that pops up and you'll usually see two main buttons. One that says play, right, so you play it from the beginning, and then you have something called scene selection. So you could, you know, if you already watched part of it, whatever it is, or you like a certain part, my kid wants to always jump to chapter 5 of Uncle Maishi. I don't know why. It just doesn't like 1 to 4. Fine. Scene selection. So if you think about sort of this whole ordeal as a scene selection, so the main part is scene 5, but we have to go back to scene 1 first. Act 1, scene 1, where the brothers sell Yosef. So that's a beautiful idea. But there's one problem. The one problem is, what's our trigger? They had the Karban Pesach as a way of thinking about the Ishmaelim. They had this whole kavana that before they start the Seder, they have to first think about this story. But what about us? What do we have that triggers it? So that's where the Karpas comes in. So you may have seen, if you got to it in source 8, the link between Karpas and the story of Yosef, Yisrael Ahavis. Yosef, famous pasuk, right? That Yisrael, Yaakov, loved Yosef more than all his other brothers. Ki ben zekunim hu, right? There's a lot of Torah about that. And what did he make for him? Vasa lo kisonis pasim. He made him this coat. Some say that it was multicolored. Actually, I think that's not really true. It might be a myth. But whatever. So he made him this coat. And Rashi on the spot says, what's the etymology? You guys, that's a big word. In high school, etymology. Where does the root, where does the word of pasim come from? Lashon kli milas kamo karpas b'techelas. It shares the same root with the word karpas, like karpas b'techelas from Megillas Esther. And then Rashi goes on to say another idea, which is not relevant to the shir, but it's a beautiful idea that he says pasim. Rashi Tevos pasim is sort of a foreshadow to the four challenges that Yosef will face. Pei, Potiphar, Samach, Sochrim, Yishmaelim, and Midyanim. Pasim. But let's go back to the first idea. That's the crux of what we need to focus on, that there is a connection between Yosef through the Ketonis pasim and karpas. And so when the brothers dip the Ketonis pasim into the blood, they are dipping the karpas, but not into water, into blood, which we'll talk about more towards the end of this. So, unbelievable, right? So yeah, we don't have the Karban Pesach, but we have the karpas. And how far reaching are the actions of the brothers? So there's a very powerful, it's very hard to read really, very powerful Rabbeinu Bachaye, who tells us, I'm not going to read it inside now, so I really want to get to the next part of this. But what he basically tells us is that Al Pi Kabbalah, when Yosef, before revealing himself, this is like the last stage before he says, I am your brother Yosef, and he places the goblet in Binyamin's bag. So he says, no, it would be very wrong of me, right? Yehuda tries to say, take us as slaves, and Yosef says, no, that'd be wrong of me, because only one of you did something wrong, so only the guy who has the goblet I'm going to take. You guys go in peace to your father. And Rabbeinu Bachaye says, Al Pi Kabbalah, that what is actually going on is he's not saying go to your father in peace, meaning Yaakov, but your father in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're going to have to answer to Hashem for what you've done, and you'll only be able to sort of cleanse, so to speak, of this terrible Veira through the Sarai Hurugay Malchus, the 10 martyrs. And he points out a fascinating idea that the word Anushim appears 10 times. Why Anushim and not Achei Yosef? Because it's referring to the 10 martyrs. Very fascinating idea. But you see from here that the whole error that the brothers make was not just terrible because it started the Shibud in Mitzrayim. It was a lot worse than that, right? This is what we read about on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. That's how bad it was what they did. Slavery in Mitzrayim and beyond. Terrible. And in fact, the link between Yosef and the Karpas is not just a cute idea that we see in one Rashi that we might have glossed over before tonight, but really it's a halacha brought down. It's a halacha brought down. When the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of Karpas and Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, so he talks about making Borei Pri Adama. Maybe he talks about it in the Charusas. That's, again, for a different time. And the Rabbeinu Manoach, if you open up a Mishnah Torah, they have Rabbeinu Manoach on the bottom, right in the middle there. So he says what? Very important line. Let's read it. Va'anu nohagim b'karpas. Why are we knowing to have karpas? Zecher k'tonas pasim. Shasa Yaakov avinu l'Yosef. Asher b'sibasa nisgaga al-davar v'erdu avasinu v'mitzrayim. Right, we have the karpas as a remembrance of the k'tonas pasim that Yaakov made for Yosef. And through this set everything in motion for our forefathers down in Mitzrayim. So obviously the Rabbeinu Manoach knew this Rashi very well, and he realized something is going on here. So what we are sort of getting to now, I'm going to share with you two ideas that I think really, to me, mind-blowing. That we're realizing that the goal of the night is to say, of the Seder, we know, right? We know is to, what? As if you yourself was in Mitzrayim, but we are relieving it together. We're not one person. Mitzvah Hashem, hopefully all of us have this chus, that we know that the Seder is a time when we are surrounded by our family, around the table together, because everything that the Karpas represents in the negative, we want to bring out in the positive. It's a tiny vegetable, but there's a huge message. And I want to share with you two ideas. So let's just first quickly summarize what we've said to get in the mode. So we said, in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, they had the Karban Pesach, and by carrying it like the Ishmaelim, by carrying it home like the merchants, the Ishmael merchants, they would sort of in their minds already start recalling the story of Yosef being sold, and that was the way that you have to start your Seder. Because again, you have to look at Klal Yisrael and the problems that we have before pointing fingers elsewhere. Yes, the Egyptians did terrible things, but hey, we did it to ourselves by getting down there in the first place. And today, we don't have the Karban Pesach, but we have the Karpas, and we know the Karpas is connected to the Konas Pasim, Yosef. And I was just thinking about this over this. You know, there's a practice that some have to read parts of the God and Shabbos HaGadol. So this idea went off in my head, and I'm like, this can't be right. And I looked, and I got so excited. So what's the idea? What is the first thing we say after having the karpas? So we make a bracha, we dip the karpas, we have yachatz, right? Karpas, yachatz. Nothing is said by yachatz, there's no prayer. Maybe we'll explain what we're doing, but there's nothing formal in the Haggadah. And then we start, what? Magid with Halach Ma'anya. What's the, not, it's not the first line, but the second line of Halach Ma'anya is, Kol dichven yesev yecho, kol ditzrach yesev yifsach. Right away, right after we eat the karpas, we haven't even talked about anything having to do with Mitzrayim yet. What are we saying? Anyone who wants to come, open door policy. Because we know that our downfall was a sinas chinam, and we must remedy that with avas chinam. And what better night to do that? On the Seder night when we're sitting with our family, with our friends, with our loved ones, and we are saying we are taking this vegetable, and it is the sign of what happened to Yosef, but we're not going to make that same mistake again. Kol dichven yesev yecho. Anyone can come. No judgment. Anyone who wants to come is invited. What do we do with the karpas? So I mentioned when the brothers took the ketonas pasim, they dipped it into blood. So we take the karpas, the ketonas pasim, so to speak, we dip it into water. Or we dip it into water. So, yes, you'll tell me salt water. Okay, tears, but it's water, right? Salt happens to be in the water, but the main ingredient there is the water. So, again, this is just my idea. I'm not sure if it's correct, but I think it makes a lot of sense. So we dip the karpas into water. Chazal tell us, Ein Mayim Ela Torah, that Torah and water are, so to speak, linked. Just like we can't survive without Mayim, we can't survive without Torah. Good. But what's one sort of golden rule that we have regarding Torah? Derech Eretz Kadm lo Torah. Because one thing and one thing only comes before Torah, so to speak, and that is the Derech Eretz. So you're taking the korpus, the symbol that we want of Avas Chinam, and dipping it into the water as a way of saying, yeah, I could learn all my, I could be darshaning the Haggadah left and right, but there's got to be the feeling of Ahava here, and Achdus. That's first and foremost. And one final idea, which again, I think is just unbelievable, and I heard it, I saw this year in the Haggadah of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he says, so again, we dip the karpas. The Hebrew word for dipping is tevila or taval, right? Tet, beis, lamed. So says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you take the letters tet, beis, lamed, you just change it around a little bit, nothing fancy. You also have the word batel, right? It's to be nullified. So there is a link between dipping something and nullifying something. And says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's not an accident. That makes perfect sense, in fact. And he gives one example, and I'll give a second example. So the example he gives is as follows. A person goes into a mikvah. So what's happening at that moment? Why is, at least for some people, why is mikvah so transformative? Why is it such an experience? Because when a person goes underwater, he is in a, really being mevatel himself more than any, because you can't survive underwater, right? You can't breathe underwater, you can't survive underwater, you can't live underwater. He's mevatel himself, and then he comes up, takes a breath of fresh air, and the whole idea of a mikvah is sort of like you're a newborn person, reborn person. So again, the words of taval and batel, dipping and nullifying, go together. And I'll give you another example. Let's say you have a french fry. You guys like french fries? I like french fries. Okay. Definitely a good Pesach food, kosher Pesach, I assume. So you take a french fry, and anyone who tells me they don't like dipping french fries into ketchup, I'm sorry, you're weird. You gotta like dipping french fries into ketchup. Okay, we could talk later about it. So you take your french fry and dip it into the ketchup. What are you doing at that moment? So, yes, the french fry is being enhanced by the ketchup, but the french fry itself, some of its taste is being mevatel, it's being nullified to the ketchup. Some of the french fry effect and taste is sort of being lost in exchange for the sort of greater experience of the french fry with the ketchup. You guys following that? So let me explain. So on a Seder night, again, if the karpas is such a crucial symbol for us, then when we dip the karpas, what we're really doing is we're dipping ourselves. We're saying that we are ready to nullify ourselves for something much bigger than ourselves. Right? There's no coincidence that Nisan is considered to be a Rosh Hashanah of sorts. Right? One of the main themes of the Yom Nirayim Rosh Hashanah, the Tishrei Rosh Hashanah, is the concept of being mevatel and being mevatr to other people. That Hashem, before all else, if you want to achieve slichan kapara, you got to say that someone else comes first. You got to put the other person's needs before your own. Nisan, a Rosh Hashanah of sorts, it makes sense. You start off your Seder night, once you have realized that the whole episode started because of our own issues between us and our brothers, so we are saying that karpas is a symbol of ourselves, that we have to be ready to nullify ourselves for the greater needs of Kaiser. So in conclusion, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Aleph says, "B'Nisan Negalu, V'Nisan Asidin Lagal," that in the month of Nisan we were redeemed from Mitzrayim, and in Mirtz Hashem, in the Nisan we will also be redeemed in the final redemption. So the hope and the tefillah I want to leave you with is that on the very night that Eliyahu Hanavi comes to visit us, we hope that when he comes to visit us, what does he see? He sees that we have remedied the exact issue that has plagued us for thousands of years, that has thrown us into this exile, that of Sinas Chinam, that we have remedied it with Avas Chinam, and that from the very moment of the Seder beginning till the very end, throughout the whole year, Mitzvah Shem, we should take the chizuk with us of the Karpas, that it is bringing us all closer together, and that Mitzvah Shem, even perhaps this very Nisan, the Nisan Isidin Lagayel, that we'll see, become a Mashiach, b'mhei av yaneinu, chag kasher v'sameach.